You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Together with Jesus. Today, we are going to be taking a look at Matthew 11 and 12, and we're going to be reading that today out of the Revised Standard Version, the RSV. And when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out? To see a man dressed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. Why then did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and men of violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We piped to you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Then he began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." At that time Jesus declared, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and any to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And he went on from there and entered their synagogue. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him?" He said to them, "What man of you, if he has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored whole like the other. But the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not wrangle or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick till he brings justice to victory, and in his name will the Gentiles hope." Then a blind and dumb demoniac was brought to him, and he healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever says a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man out of his treasure brings forth good, and the evil man out of his treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he passes through waterless places seeking rest, but he finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and brings with him 7 other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse worse than the first. So it shall be also with this evil generation. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Hey everybody, welcome back to the After Party. This is where we talk about the readings that we just read. Today we're talking about Matthew 11 and 12, and I apologize to anyone who tried to listen to this earlier in the week. We had a little bit of an editing problem, and so we're having to re-record a little bit of it. But with that said, we're going to jump right into Matthew 11, 1 through 6. So this starts off Matthew 11 for us. Kind of the big picture on these two chapters is that Jesus is kind of being rejected by Israel, and he himself is sort of rejecting Israel himself. And so you'll see that kind of playing out as you take a look at the reading. John the Baptist is in prison by Herod's hand. He's there because he was calling Herod out for some things that Herod shouldn't have been doing. While John is in prison, it appears that his disciples are still visiting him, and John actually is able to send his disciples as emissaries and to go to Jesus and to say, "Hey, are you the guy? Are you the one that we have been looking for, or should we be looking for another?" And Jesus' response to that is also an interesting response. While he definitely says yes, he doesn't say yes just sort of outrightly. Instead, what he does is he references three specific messianic prophecies from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 29, Isaiah 35, and Isaiah 61. But even on top of that, he adds something in. So into that list of things that we're supposed to expect from the Messiah, he throws in something there that's unexpected, and that is that the dead are raised. And that's nothing that Isaiah ever prophesied about, and yet this is something that Jesus has done. And so Jesus sends them back and kind of tells them to deliver this message to John. Next, he sort of has this moment of turning around and takes a look at the people that are there. And there's kind of this tension that he addresses in the people that are present there with him. And so as we kind of look at that tension, Jesus turns around and he asks the crowd some questions. You know, who did you come out to see? Did you come out to see, when you came out to see John, did you come out to see a man who was, you know, dressed in soft raiment, like fancy clothing? Did you come out to see somebody who is just going to be sort of like the normal religious people that you see in the synagogues? No, but you came out to see a prophet, and what you got was a prophet. And yet he addresses that there is this tension between him and John the Baptist, that he is different than John the Baptist, which is an interesting thing since they both kind of start off with the same message: repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is showing to them that there is something that is different between him and John the Baptist. And so as he talks about that, he then goes on to talk about the unrepentant cities. And so as he kind of shifts his attention here, he shifts it over to these cities that aren't very common cities in at least the New Testament. So Chorazin, this is the only place that we really hear about Chorazin. Bethsaida, we hear a couple of different other mentions of Bethsaida. Capernaum is probably the most famous one of these, and even Capernaum is maybe not as well known, but it is well known because it's Jesus's headquarters, his kind of place where he is at. But despite how well known they are, we know that these are all Jewish cities, and that's where the really surprising thing comes in, where Jesus is talking to these cities, and he's sort of lamenting over these cities that. He had even the people of Tyre and Sidon and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah heard about the gospel, they would have repented. And that's kind of shocking to the Jewish people that would have heard this. He's making these sort of inflammatory statements about them. And so as he's doing this, we kind of step back and we look at, again, the kind of big picture that we have in Matthew. And that big picture is at least partially that Matthew is sort of arguing that Jesus came for the Gentiles too. And here you have Jesus kind of turning away from the Jews and turning toward the people who are the Gentiles, saying things that, like, you know, with Capernaum, that, you know, even Sodom wouldn't have been destroyed. A definite Gentile city that was destroyed, you know, even a byword today about people that should receive God's punishment. Even Sodom would have repented had they had the healings and miracles done in them that Jesus did for Bethsaida and Chorazin. And so you have this kind of context, but then you have Jesus switch. Jesus switches there, and then almost as an aside, up to his Father, he thanks his Father that he has given the ability for some people to follow him. He's given the ability to some people to actually hear what he has to say. And so it's kind of like Jesus is doing this law gospel move. He gives the law very clearly to the cities that have not been following him, and yet he turns that around at the end, and he thanks his Father for the ability to have all of the other people who actually will hear him to come to him and take his burden on, because his burden is light and his yoke is easy. And so there's all sorts of good stuff there for the people that are actually following him, but definitely not good stuff for the people that are not following him. After that, we jump into chapter 12. And so chapter 12 really starts ramping up the rejection that Jesus receives from the religious elite in Jerusalem. And so it starts off with this question about the Sabbath that comes up. And so Jesus's disciples are walking by a field, and there they see that there's some grain. Now, this would have been fairly normal. In fact, it was even codified that farmers in Jerusalem should leave some space open for ungleaned for people to come and to grab pieces of grain that they could eat or that they could gather and bring home to make bread if they absolutely needed it. It was sort of like an early form of welfare. And so as they're walking by Jesus' disciples, they take some heads of grain and they rub them between their hands. And the Pharisees go crazy about this. They go, "Oh my goodness, well, that is, you know, reaping, which is definitely not allowed on the Sabbath. And it is threshing, which is definitely not allowed on the Sabbath," because they're taking these little minuscule things that the disciples are doing and blowing them way out of context. And so Jesus, you know, gets onto them and kind of says, "Hey, you've got this all wrong." And he brings up these stories from David, this story where David goes into the temple at Nob with his mighty men. This is before David becomes king, and he goes in, and his people are hungry, and he says, "Well, we're going to eat the showbread that is in the temple." And this showbread would have been 12 different loaves that would have represented probably that God was taking care of the people of Israel, of all the 12 tribes. Each tribe had a loaf of bread. And so, you know, David says, "Well, God's taking care of us. And so what God wants to do is to give us bread. So obviously I'm going to take the bread." And then he even goes as far as to say, "Don't you know that the priests, they defile the sanctuary on the Sabbath when they bring the bread in? Because they, you know, when they do that, they're actually making the place ritually unclean." And so Jesus is almost telling the Pharisees, "You know, you're putting too fine a point on some of this stuff with the law, and it's not even stuff that my Father ever imagined you would do." And so that continues then as they walk into the synagogue. And so you can kind of picture this as like whenever you walk into church. So, you know, the discussion sort of starts off in the parking lot, and Jesus' disciples have been, you know, grabbing something to eat, and people have a big problem with that. And now they're walking into church. They're walking into the synagogue, and there they see a man with a withered hand. And one of the Pharisees apparently goes to Jesus and says, "Well, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And Jesus is, I suppose, expected to say, "Oh, well, no, I guess I've got to leave that guy alone." But instead what he does is he teaches the Pharisees again. He says, "Well, isn't it allowable if somebody loses a sheep, that you would go and you would find that sheep and you would pick that sheep up and rescue that sheep. And obviously, isn't this person supposed to be more important to us than just a lowly sheep? And so as they're kind of working this out, Jesus is bringing to them this sort of understanding of who he is. And at the end of that, he even says that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. So he makes this really pretty clear claim to be the Messiah. He says that he is the Son of Man, which is a messianic title from the book of David, or not book of David, the book of Daniel, rather. And then on top of that, he says that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He has dominion over the Sabbath. He has authority over the Sabbath, which is really something that only God should have in the way that the Pharisees think about things. Well, after that, we get into really kind of a very stern warning from Jesus about the Pharisees. And so Jesus then, you know, on the heels of what has been happening with this stuff about the blasphemy, Jesus says, you know, you should really watch out who you're listening to, probably to the crowds, because these Pharisees seem to be blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Now, they've accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebul, which is the name literally means the Lord of the Flies, but was kind of a conception of who the devil was. It was sort of a popular image of who the devil was. And so, you know, they're basically accusing him of being the devil, being Satan, and Jesus turns that around on them, and yet he then says, you really need to be careful about these Pharisees that you're listening to, because they are the fruit of a bad tree. That Jesus is pointing out what everything that he's doing healings, he is giving people the word of God, all of those things, all of those are the fruit of a good tree. And yet, when the Pharisees talk, that it's always fruit from a bad tree, it's always this sort of legalism that even gets God's word wrong, like it's filled with mistakes. And so Jesus tells the people to watch out, and even up in verse about 20, 21, even there, he's sort of leading people out of the synagogue. He's kind of bringing them out of the synagogue and saying, you know, come and follow me outside of the synagogue, after the Pharisees are legitimately trying to plan to kill him. After that, then we get into Matthew 12, 38 through 45, and this is another interesting place. It sort of sounds like when Jesus was when Jesus was talking about the cities. And yet here we have the inciting incident is that one of the religious elite come to Jesus and they say, we want you to give us a sign. And kind of with the understanding of, well, if you just gave us a sign, the right kind of sign or whatever, then maybe we would believe you. Maybe we would stop, you know, thinking that you are the person who's casting out demons by Beelzebul. Now, the likelihood of that happening is probably pretty low, no matter what Jesus said. And maybe Jesus understands this, because Jesus then strikes back at them by saying, you will receive no sign except for the sign of Jonah. And when we go, oh, well, what's the sign of Jonah? Well, if you think back to the story of Jonah, what happens in Jonah is that Jonah goes to the nation city of Nineveh, which is the capital city of the Assyrians, and he goes and he calls them to repentance. And he says, you know, if you repent, then I will not do the horrible things that I have planned for you. And sure enough, the city repents. And so Jesus says, even those people, even those Gentiles are going to repent ahead of you. They're actually going to, you know, be in judgment over you. And he says the same thing about the queen of the south, which is the queen Sheba, who comes to visit Solomon when he is in power. And another Gentile person who Jesus says is going to stand in judgment over the Pharisees, over the religious elite of the people of Israel. And so the idea here is that Jesus is really saying something offensive. Jesus is really sort of sticking it to these people, because he's saying, not only are you wrong, but you're so wrong that the Gentiles are going to be going ahead of you. And to cap that off, and to cap our reading off here, you get this final story that really seems to tell us something, and is probably what Matthew is trying to do by telling this story. So in 12:46 through 50, you have Jesus talking, and he receives a visit from his family, and his family kind of make it a point to come and to say hello. We know from some of the other gospels that they may be questioning what he's doing, and Jesus then looks around and he says, you know, where is my family? Where are my mother and my brothers? I have no mother and brothers except for these who are here. And he looks at the people that are around him, and he's implying that the people that do the will of God is what he says. The people that do that will, that those are truly his mother and his brothers. And so here at this final section, you've seen the people of Israel rejecting Jesus. They've been rejecting him outright. He's sort of been rejecting the people of Israel as well. And as he's been rejecting the people of Israel, we've now found that it's getting down to even this point of identification, that Jesus is even saying, my own family isn't my family. I'm not claiming the Israelites. I'm not claiming even Mary and my brothers as my family above the people that do the will of my Father. And that is the thing that really makes me family. And so thankfully, that is still the case for us today, that we're a part of Jesus's family. Now, we're a part of Jesus's family, and we attempt to do the things that God would have us to do, but we know that we fail. We're just as bad as the Pharisees and the scribes sometimes. But thankfully for us, we know the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is that Jesus is going to actually sacrifice himself in order to be our true brother, in order to have us be his true family. So thank you for reading along with us and for being along with us on this journey. We look forward to next week when we'll be talking about Matthew 13 and 14. We'll see you then. God bless. Bye. Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.